I want to talk from Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. The church that I trained in 180 years ago, that church, it was in Regina. It was an unique thing. It was like a mission. It was called the Regina Street Mission, in fact. And they had services for 20, I hope I got this right, pretty close if I'm off, 29 years in a row, they had services. Every night there would be a service. Now these are the days before television, so they had lots of services to go to, and instruments and the band to play, and it was a big deal. But here's what they told me how it worked. It started with week number one. The evangelist would come into town, week number one, and he would preach on the new birth. Then he would go. The next speaker would come. And he would come to Regina and come to the church, and he would speak on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he would move on. And the third week, another fellow would come and he'd speak on water baptism. But inevitably, at the end of the series that he would be there, he would always speak on the coming of the Lord. It was that theme that they let. They didn't want to leave it on this theme or that theme, but on that theme that the Lord is coming, and the church should be ready for it. So it's gone in my mind where there was meetings every night. I think now today you'd be hard pressed to find a message on the second coming. We're not that interested in it, in some ways, I suspect. And so today I just felt that, from my own prompting, that I should speak on that issue. It's not exhaustive in any way, but Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, listen to this, so powerful, so good. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." It's a cry. I've often wondered over my life, if there might even be something where we call to him, "Come, come, Lord, come. Come to this place. Come to this earth. Come to our church. Come, Lord. We anticipate you. We are waiting for you. Haste. Don't be slow in coming, Lord. But, Lord, come. Our hearts are ready." Isn't that a church? That's the church that God wants. And so may, with his help, may we move that towards that a little bit closer. I think the second coming of Christ, it'll have some implications, personal ones, glorious ones, and imminent ones. And I'll talk a little bit about that. One thing I can say, number one, point number one, his coming will be personal. Not abstract, not coming as a spook or as a ghost or as a mystery or an invisible. You know, I think there are some groups that taught that Jesus, it's a spiritual birth. You don't actually see him, but he comes in the spirit. I don't think that would be what the scriptures teach. So it would be, in my mind, it would be, first of all, visible. He will be seen. Secondly, it will be bodily. Bodily. Thirdly, it'll be local. And on that setting, that's how he will come. And I thought there's probably, if you want to have some joy with this thing, just put it on the side and look at it when you're not going through the Bible verses that we're supposed to learn. Matthew 24, right? Matthew 24. Would you make a little note on that? Matthew 24, really important verse. Mark 13 and Luke 21. Those are major places you can camp. I say, well, you should look up, what does the Bible say about the second coming? Well, just begin yourself with some of those verses. So Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 11, listen to this. "This is the same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner." Now, I'll just pause here. The way he left is how he's coming back again. Shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. As you saw him go up in the clouds, behold, he comes with clouds. There's something significant about clouds. I'm not sure entirely what it is, but it's mentioned several times. He comes with clouds, and every eye will see him. Now, doesn't that clear up some things? everyone is going to see him. He will be seen because he said, the way I went up, I'm coming back exactly the same way. I'm coming in, I'm going in the clouds and I'm coming back in the clouds. And I thought, wouldn't it be something as you're, maybe you're out taking a flight somewhere and all of a sudden you say, those clouds look a little different, don't they? And it rips open and there's the Lord coming in the clouds with great glory. Wow, I hope we're in a meeting of some kind when that happens. Don't you? Don't you just say, oh Lord, let that be, that we are just on the second verse of glory to God, hallelujah, and all of a sudden, wow, what's this? And the whole world sees it as he shakes the heavens. Well, that may that be our heart's desire. And I think that pleases the Lord to think along those lines. So, it's first of all, it's going to be personal. You will know when he comes. And that's why, well, I'll come to that later, but you'll know, you won't miss it because every eye will see him. And that will be interesting from that point on. So that's number one, is personal. Number two, his second coming will be glorious. Glorious. When he comes in his glory, Matthew talks about this, and the glory of the Father of the holy angels, Matthew 25:31 is another reference. He will, excuse me, he will be revealed in his divine majesty. There's something majestic about it. He came the first time on a donkey. He's not coming back on a donkey. He's coming back with great glory. Where he came softly, he's coming with a roar. This is the ultimate, make my day. Because he comes and they won't be mocking him then. They won't be making fun of him then as he comes in all of his glory, revealed in his divine majesty. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 and verse 29. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. He'll appear a second time not to deal with sin, because Calvary's cross dealt with that already. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Eagerly waiting for him. Oh my. Yeah, I as I was preparing, I said, Lord, I don't know if my heart's ready or not, but I want it to be. I want my heart to be ready. I want when you say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, when we say that, Lord, that you would come and you would touch our hearts. That would be so wonderfully powerful, and we give the Lord all glory for these type of things when we see these verses. By the way, there's lots and lots of verses. Matthew 26:69, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Clouds. What is the significance of that? That would be a study in itself. Christ will reign in glory over all the world. You know, as the waters cover the sea, so his glory shall cover the earth. And right now, the kingdom comes in little portions. It comes here, and when we bow our knee, when we were praying this morning, I believe the kingdom came to some measurement, didn't it? The kingdom of God has come, but only come that far. The day will come when he comes to take it over completely. And we will marvel at it, and we'll be so excited and so happy, and so many wonderful things as a result of that. The resurrection of the dead, that's one of the things that will take place when he returns. There will be a lot of activity, but that will be one of them. And the body of the believer is thus to be raised in glory. And I thought, yeah, that's how it will be. Paul, you read his word about in Corinthians, that you'll just see him, he'll be the dead will rise, and it'll be heaven on earth when God's done here. I think of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, says, while we wait for a Savior, we're waiting. We're waiting for him, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, says, who love his appearing. Do you love him? Do you love his appearing? Can I honestly say, Lord, I love your appearing. I'm waiting for you, Lord. I don't know. Somebody says the older you get, the more you want the Lord to return. Yeah, maybe because we know more about that at that point. I'm not sure. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, who love is appearing. Can you imagine a church that loves his appearing? And 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he appears, he's going to appear. And we will welcome him. And so that's the great call over and over again. I bet I would have found 50 verses, maybe more, on who love is appearing, who love is appearing, who love is appearing. And it would be worthy of a full study rather than just a sermon. And thirdly, the second coming of the Lord will be imminent. Will be imminent. It's an event, so that imminent doesn't mean immediate. I can remember in 1968 when I met Val, we were hoping that the Lord would hold off till we got married. We're the only ones who thought that, right? Lord, just don't come just yet, because I love this girl, and if you come, and she goes to heaven, and I'm left behind. No, I don't think that's going to happen, but at any rate, you know what I'm saying is our hearts were not totally pure because we wanted to be married and be together and be a couple. Actually, we came home from our honeymoon early. Now, how many people come home early? But we came home early from our honeymoon, and not so much to open the presents, although that was thought was there. It was more had to do with letting everybody know that we were a couple. Very crazy when I think about it now. Hi, we're a couple. We weren't a couple before, but now we're a couple. We're not nobody now. We're somebody now. We're a couple. And we look forward to seeing everybody we knew, because we're holding hands and so excited about it. Hi, we're married. We're a couple. Well, I'm sure there's one or two who struggled the same way. Anyway, 1968, it seemed that there wouldn't be much longer before Christ came. It seemed like that. The Vietnam War, it started, just all kinds of signs and symbols we thought must be the end, must be the end. And so it's 1968, 78, 88, 98, you just keep on going. We're still here, right? We're still here. But that's okay, because it's not imminent, or it's not immediate, it's imminent, which means it could, an event that may occur in your life. It may occur. It's not a guarantee. We don't know that it's a guarantee, but we know that he's coming again. And the admonition is that we're to be ready for him when he comes. And it's an event that's going to happen. I believe, because I've been taught this, I'm more open now than I used to be, but Brother Pritchard taught me well and about the... how to view the second coming. And I think I'm a little different view on it now. Oh, he'd be so upset at that. That would be. Good thing he went to heaven. Because he was very clear on Scripture. And so I learned. But anyway, we grew up expecting the Lord to come, wondering if he would come now, and events would happen. And then we'd go through, like right now, it's all this scary stuff going on. This must be the coming of the Lord. Not necessarily, but it could be. See, that's how we view this. Not necessarily. We may not see it in our lifetime. That's okay. We're going to go to heaven anyway. Right? That's where we're going, whether he comes or not. But I think it's a greater glory to be caught up in the sky and as the church is raptured in heaven and set aside for his holy purposes. So we're exhorted in the light of that, of the imminence. The image. Remember, one time this thing got so real in our hearts. You hear a loud truck backfire or something. Boom! Whoa! Is that the Lord? Is that the Lord coming? Is he coming? Because it seemed that could be something like that, right? Well, we're exhorted to watch. Some say, well, you're only fools are waiting for something. He says, I used to work with a fellow. He was a rough, crude guy. And he would say, oh, he called me Scotty. He says, Scotty, you're slower than the second coming of Christ. It was his idea of a kind of a joke, I suppose, but nevertheless, you're slower than the second coming of Christ. Now, here's a secular guy. What in the world would he know about the second coming of Christ? He knew nothing. He didn't know one single verse. He'd heard that said, and he said it, and everybody. But it was based on a truism that Christ is coming, but you're slow just like him. He hasn't come in the past. He's not coming in the future. He's not coming anywhere. He's not coming. He's just slow. And yet, the very fact that person would make jokes about it, it's kind of interesting in itself. But we're exhorted to watch. I want to be a watcher. And there's lots of scriptures to watch, that's for sure. And not just that, but we're exhorted to be waiting. Waiting. And we sing songs, which are very biblical to do. We sing songs of his coming. And we're going to end on a song in a few minutes here that the band has put together. I appreciate them doing this. And to sing songs about that. He's coming soon. We don't know when he's coming, that's for sure. We're supposed to be ready. And you need to plan that in your own heart and life, and I'll do the same. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, then we who are alive and who are left will be caught up, catch the terminology here, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. There's clouds again. To meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord when he comes. When he comes, we'll meet with him in the clouds. And that will be a day of days, unbelievable day. And we have this opportunity to bless the Lord and live for the Lord, serve the Lord. And if he comes, you see, I believe there will be a final person saved. There'll be somebody who, that'll be the last one. And so we want to do the message. There's an evangelistic thing attached to this, that we would wait for the Lord until, there's one more. Say, one more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. And so there's a hesitancy. Lord, we want you to come, but there's some people I want you to know, to come to know you. Lord, let there be one more. Hold it, Lord, just for a moment, and then we'll go home together. But, oh, Lord, there would be one more. One more for Christ. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we do what we do. Whether we don't always do it well, but we do it for a reason, because we know at some point there's going to be the last Gentile saved, and then the program changes. And it changes as it switches to Israel. And I have no trouble accepting that, fully on that. It'll be done here, and then the agenda will change. And now this is the part I'll leave out, because we don't want to argue as to all the details. You have a right to be wrong, and we'll leave it at that. It says, those who wait for his son from heaven. Waiting. We're waiting. Why? Because we believe in a sure thing. He said he was coming back. He will come back. We would just pray that we'll be part of that contingency. That would be so unbelievable. We're exhorted to watch. We're exhorted to be ready, knowing that imminence does not mean immediacy. It could. Many years ago, actually, at an ACOP conference, they had Chuck Smith. You know Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel? You know that? He spoke on this conference. We were all of our full gospel churches. And he said, I'm going to give you 10 reasons why Jesus will come before Christmas. And that's what his message was. That place was packed. It was just jam-packed. Jesus is going to come by Christmas. And boy, this is June. He's going to come before Christmas. And that was just a great excitement. Because he was quite known as especially the prophecy area, so he was really popular with that, if I can use that word. The next year, the year after, we missed Christmas, but the speaker said 10 reasons why Christ isn't coming. or not ten, whatever, eight reasons. I think it was eight reasons why Jesus is not coming. You know why? Because he has to get his act. The church has to get their act together. You have to clean up your act. Jesus is not going to come to this lot. He's not going to come to you. Get your life ready. Get your house in order. And then when you've got enough work done in it, then the king will come. But he's not coming until you change your ways. Well, that set the whole thing upset. So they said, well, we can't keep changing it each time. There's some other emphasis. But there's a half-truth in both of those things. One is the Lord is coming, and it won't have anything to do with you and me. It'll be his sovereign grace upon us. But also, I believe I do, there is a responsibility. He wants me to yield to him and to wait for him and to be found waiting and doing and winning. And I don't know when the last Gentile will be, but I know when that thing, the order will change and the Lord will come and we'll see him in the clouds. The most unbelievable event in the history of the world, the coming of the Lord. There's no event like it. There's nothing like it. It will reverberate this whole world. And I can imagine even now, you can maybe carried away a bit on this, but not in the thought of there's also another person being prepared. There's a man of sin, the man of perdition. And he's being prepared to come to take over this world. And we say, Lord, even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, if you would, God. Come in all of your power and your greatness. And I would say, it doesn't matter if we miss, if we say, we're all in heaven, talking and sharing and ministering to one another. That's not such a bad, nothing wrong about that. But there's something about not wanting to go to the grave, although we're open to that. If that's our lot, we'll go to heaven. But it's more to do of meeting the Lord in the sky and letting that be how it's going to wrap up. And we used to sing songs, about that. Maybe the morning, maybe the noon, maybe the evening. Coming again. Remember that, sweetie? We used to sing that thing, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon. We were never sure for sure when it was, but we knew. You could look in any of these hymnals. I'm sure we've got a hymnal around somewhere. And you would flip it open to Second Coming. There would be all the hymns that are on the Second Coming. And I don't think there's too many nowadays, not too many songs about the Second Coming. And I'm not trying to bully out or anything. I'm part of it too. But it is an emphasis in the church that the church, we say, church, arise. There's any, get ready for this. Don't be sleeping. Win as many people as you can. Bless as many people. Encourage as many people as you can. Point them towards heaven. Because once the Lord comes, then it will change. I'm going to ask the band if they'd come. And, oh, maybe they're not back yet. Oh, okay. We'll just wait a moment. I'm a little early here. I keep preaching. He was sorry he said that later. Why did he say that? We're going to sing that song in just a moment. How many here just want to add just a comment to what I was saying here about the immediate? Yes, please. Yeah, amen. What side are you on? Yeah. See, that whole thing of waiting for the Lord, it's the event next to the death and burial of Jesus. This is colossal. Nothing even comes close to it. And so we cry out, like you say, and it's so real, and we're going to know how real it really is when that roar, wow. And people who wish they would have made this to be on the side that you want to be on, side of the Lord, and receive his love and his care and all the things that he has. But even so, he said, come, Lord. That's the whole thing of John and Revelation 22. Come. He says, come, Lord, come. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, amen. He says, amen. I bet you that amen was a loud one. You know, amen, amen. And we'll just say that, echo that. Let that be a theme in the 5, 10, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, that we would be people looking, waiting. I gave extra time this morning because you were so good in the first service, in the first gathering. No, it's not. It's my doing. So let's stand together. There, I asked if they had a song, and they happened to have a song, and they learned a song. So I bless you. Thank you for. But it's a song I want us to sing together. And then maybe when we're done, maybe we'll just raise our voices and shout, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we'll sing the song, then we'll just see how the Spirit's leading us here.
Jesus, come.
I don't know, I don't want to be in heresy, I don't know if it's heresy to call for him to come. Would he come sooner if we were calling to him? Would he come closer because he sees the church vibrant and alive and waiting for him? Might he come when he hears the cry of the saints? Rather than just, you know, all the thousand other things we can be a part of. But would he not come? If he felt our hearts, if he knew that we were ready for him, without going weird, without being strange, not adding any dumb thing to our, this is, it feels it can go way off, right? Little groups meeting together, they've got the revelation. And I say, oh, I know those kind of groups. I want to be 1,000 miles from that. Because they've got this views that they have, this own personal thing going. And I'm talking solid scripture. Jesus is coming back because he said he's coming back. Maybe we should just say this together. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's say it about 3 times. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Father, we so thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. Lord, we can hardly wait. What a day. What a miraculous day that's going to be. And we ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us, upon our lives, upon the church. We thank you. Lord, I don't want to be in the wrong place when this happens. I want to be in the right place. I don't want to be sinning. I want to be praising.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
So purify our hearts.
Yes.
I pray there'll even be a skip in our step here today, Lord, as we go out from here. Just knowing he's coming. He's coming. Oh, he's coming. Maybe not today, and yet maybe today. So we thank you. We love you. Let's tell him we love. Lord, we love you. We love you. Oh, you're the best, Lord. You're absolutely the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you.
Praise you, Jesus.
In the strong name of Jesus, we pray all this. Amen and amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you. We'll see you on the patio in just a moment here.